On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you for making the proper choice to listen to something. I will inform and entertain you and hand out cookies. Sometimes when I am really hungry and want a cookie, I will go to one of those open houses, you know, they're trying to sell a house and they have an open house and anybody can come in and look around the house that they're trying to sell. They inevitably have a little basket of freshly baked cookies sitting on the kitchen counter. It's nothing else to do on a Sunday. Somehow those cookies are always good, you know. The smell of the cookies baking in the oven and sitting on the counter. I mean, how you feeling? You all right? Are you good? Are you feeling all right? You know, these shows, you listen to these shows and they never talk about you. They're always talking about themselves. And I'm guilty of that, too, because that's a form of entertainment. But, you know, I really do care about you. I'm sorry, I tried to say that with a straight face. I couldn't. What is a straight face, by the way? What the hell does that mean? That's enough of that. Hey, welcome to the program. I don't know how to thank you, so I probably won't. If I don't know how to thank you, why even bother trying? Why waste my time? But you're wonderful. You really are. I think you know that. There are two types of people on this planet, you and me, and I win, so that's the end of that. Anyway, happy Halloween to you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, happy Halloween. It's tomorrow's Halloween. Kids knocking on doors, begging for candy. What more could you want? What more could you want? It puts a parent in just a fantastic situation. I love Halloween. I don't trick-or-treat anymore. I can't fit into those little plastic costumes anymore. But I'll tell you something. I enjoy opening the door 2,000 times a night. Well, I'm trying to enjoy myself. Oh, that's freaking doorbell again. Oh, my God, kids, just go home. Stop this madness. Leave me alone. So I go to the door, and I always say the same thing, no matter how the kids look, no matter what the costume looks like. I say the following thing. Ooh, who are you supposed to be? I say that over and over again. I know who they're supposed to be sometimes. Sometimes I really don't. I have no idea what they are. I'm not familiar with all the people to know that if someone dresses like someone, I don't know who that someone is. It's like a kid comes to the door dressed like a rap artist, and I say, who are you supposed to be? And they say, K.L. Ghoulgrave, rap artist. Okay, I don't know who the fuck that is. Just go home, put a sheet over your head, and call it a day, man. I don't know what the hell you're doing here. Rap artist, I'm afraid I don't know all of them by heart. I don't know, and these girls come, these 10-year-old girls, come to the door like, "Who? What are you supposed to be? I'm a sexy nurse." Oh, God, no, don't. Don't you have parents? What are you talking about? You're sexy. Don't tell people that. What the hell? That's not a costume. That's a fun night on a Saturday for an adult. That's not a costume for a kid. Go home and change. I don't understand. Some of them are that superhero thing, you know, that thing, you know, the thing with the superheroes, you know, one can fly, one Iron Man, all that kind of crap. I don't watch that stuff. It's not reality to me. So who are you supposed to be? I'm a flat tire man. I don't, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't care who you are, actually. Here's a piece of candy. Get lost. I don't even know who you are. I think you just materialized. I'll never see you again. Why am I giving you candy? Hey, here's the deal. I give you candy. You walk away quickly. How about that? So I say, who are you supposed to be? Who are you? What are you? What is this? What the hell's going on here? Why are you dressed up in strange clothing coming to my door asking for candy? I was sitting on my couch enjoying a nice television show, and some little freaking young midget comes to my door and begs for candy. What the hell's going on? What kind of holiday is this? Who started this one? What's the theory behind you coming to my door asking for candy? You trying to convert me or something? I don't understand what you're doing here. And there's a lot of you. Go home. Just go home. Go back to where you came from. Ooh, you're not supposed to say that. I don't care for Halloween. I really don't. I find an invasion of privacy. It's like telemarketing. You know, you're sitting on your couch watching a show. The phone rings. It's a phone number that you're familiar with, but it's not them. They stole the phone number, and they're trying to scam you somehow. It's the same thing with the kids coming to the door. I'm enjoying myself. You're interrupting me. Some people just put a bowl of candy on their front step, and they never answer the door. I'm considering that, but then again, I've been told, Ron, make an effort to like the kids. You know, even if you really find them to be incredibly annoying, and some of them stay annoying right through adulthood. But kids, they don't know any better. They don't know what annoying is, obviously. So I'm supposed to interact with them in a very mature way. So I open the door, and I fawn over them, you know, like, ooh, who are you supposed to be? I go through all of that. Sometimes the kids will say trick or treat, and I'll say, what? I don't understand why are you saying that? Don't say anything. I'll give you candy. Or just say, nice house, Ron, something like that. Compliment me. If I'm going to compliment you on your costume, compliment me somehow. Oh, nice front door. Nice front door you have there, sir. Thank you for the candy, sir. No problem. No problem. Halloween sucks. The other thing I say to every little kid that comes to the door dressed in a stupid costume, by the way, why don't they make costumes where you wear masks and you can't see where the hell you're going? How safe is that? What's the problem here? Halloween costumes should not have masks on them. That's a visual hindrance. That's distracted driving. That's distracted walking. So every time I give a kid a little piece of candy and throw it into their little plastic pumpkin or their pillowcase, whatever the case may be. Some poor kids, by the way, have to sleep on that pillowcase when they get home. They turn around and they start to leave my house, start to leave my front steps. And I always say, watch out, be careful, watch out. Because I don't want them falling down and tripping themselves, because then, you know, I don't know if my insurance covers this. I don't think I need to worry about that, because Halloween, like, you came onto my property. I didn't invite you. Oh, yes, you did, Ron. You put pumpkins out front. You put your lights on. You did invite me. You said you're participating that way in the Halloween experience. Oh, I didn't know I was. Yeah, you are. So you invited us to your front stoop. Yeah, but then you stole my candy from me. So just be careful walking. Get off my property. How about that idea? Maybe I'll meet you at the end of the driveway next time. Halloween, my ass. I didn't enjoy Halloween when I was a kid. I did not enjoy that at all. It was a lot of work, a lot of walking. A lot of walking. I lived in a neighborhood, yeah. And I went from house to house. I knew most of the people. Some of them I didn't. Some of them, it was like a peek into their private lives that you don't want to see, you know, like they'd open the door. You'd look a little bit beyond the door to see what their family life was like. And you'd see garbage piled, you know, in the kitchen. And it was like awful. There was one lady, I'll never forget, when I was a little kid, I was doing the trick-or-treating with someone else from the neighborhood, and the lady opens the door, and she says, happy Halloween, come on in. Uh-oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to walk into somebody else's house, but I did because the adult told me to. And I walked into the house, and she left me in the foyer while she went to get something. Now, I don't know if it was going to be candy or maybe some type of a restraint device. I had no idea what she was going to get.
Stand in the foyer where I get out my sharpest knives.
You know, I was scared. You know, like, what am I doing in this lady's house? But it turned out she had little bags of prepared little Halloween bags, you know, little paper things, a little pumpkin on the face of the bag, and there was some candy in it, a little assortment of candy. She was being really nice, but for a second I thought she was going to, you know, take me to Argentina or something like that. I don't know why Argentina back then was not a big deal. It is now. Man, you can't travel anywhere anymore, right? Every time you set up a vacation to go somewhere, everybody says, well, don't leave the compound, don't leave the area, don't go walking around yourself. Oh, what a wonderful world this is. Come visit us. Come, we are the tourist capital of the world. Come visit us. But don't walk unescorted in the streets and stay on the compound and don't talk to strangers and don't drink their water and don't eat their food. But come enjoy. Everything's fine as long as you don't go anywhere. Oh, my God. It's a wonderful country. It's beautiful. Stay with the tour group, though. You go by yourself, they'll abduct you and kill you. Don't do that. But come to our country and enjoy. Enjoy our cuisine. Your cuisine? You eat spiders. What are you talking about? Your cuisine? That's not a cuisine. That's cannibalism. What's for dinner? You? Oh, my God. This isn't right. This is the wrong part of Africa, I think. Come on, man. Come to India. It's a beautiful country. We never collect the garbage off the streets, but it's a beautiful country nonetheless. Come visit the place that tries to scam you every time you sit down and have dinner at night. Oh, man, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm really disillusioned with everything, quite obviously. I've been around longer than you have, most likely, and I know how much things suck. You know, you have no idea, you millennials. Or whatever you call yourselves. Millennials actually are adults now. That's pretty scary, too. I have no idea what you call these people anymore. I don't know what you call somebody that's born like in 2015. Young kids, like, I don't know what they're called. I don't know what generation they are. I kind of don't care because they're just labels at that point. What kind of world am I leaving you? You know, our country's in deficit, like in trillions of dollars. Trillions. I don't even know how many zeros are involved in that. I don't think I have enough zeros to make up that number. But that's a lot of money. But that's how much, that's our deficit. Thanks, Donald Trump. Donald Trump has doubled the deficit in 3 years. You financial wizard, you. God, my God. My only hope with Trump is that we make it through the 4 years without any kind of incredible catastrophe that he has created. And we've come close to that a number of times. Like this thing going on with Syria, man, you know, where ISIS actually was being contained by our troops and by the Kurds. And then Trump allows Turkey to invade, gets our people out of there, and all of a sudden the ISIS there are hundreds of ISIS people that were set free are now roaming throughout Europe. Nice move, Don. Well thought out. Well thought out, Don. Just make it through 4 years, please. Let's just hopefully keep your fingers crossed. I think I'm going to see a lot of Donald Trump masks. If I see one of them when I open my door, I'm shutting my door immediately. I don't care if it's a 5-year-old kid with a mask or Donald Trump himself. I don't I'm not doing it. I'm not giving you candy. You put on a Donald Trump mask, you get no candy. No candy. Don't even try it. I'll give candy to everybody standing around you, but because you put that stupid freaking mask on to remind me about how desolate and awful he is, I'm not giving you candy. It's the least I can't do. I don't know if you're enjoying this show or not, to be honest with you. I have no feedback, no immediate feedback here. But I'm going to assume that you're just having the best time of your lives right now.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
You know, I've always wanted to have servants, and I'm not that way, but I'm just, the older I get, the less I want to do anything, and it really would be nice to have enough money to hire people to do things for me. Like, I should be exercising, but I'm just too lazy to do it. I'd love to hire people to come to my, I'm not going to them, I'm not going to have a personal trainer, I have to get in the car and go to them to do that. Now, I want someone to come to my house and move my arms. I'm too lazy, man. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming over. I'll sit in the chair. If you just grab my legs and my arms and move them around in a syncopated manner, thanks a lot. That'll be my exercise. 20 minutes, please. I would love that. I would love someone to come over and do that, you know, or some very attractive woman, you know, like, I'm too lazy to have sex. Could you just take care of me in my chair? I mean, I really, I'm sorry. I know it's insulting, but I'm just really just so lazy. You'd have no idea. You know, just every once in a while mutter an old baby, oh baby, oh baby, just to help me along. But that would be really nice if you could do that, you know. My mother used to force me to make my bed when I got up in the morning when I was a kid, and I never understood that. And she said, well, you'll appreciate it when you go to bed at night. No, I won't. Then I have to untuck the bed. What the hell did I tuck it in for? Why did I tuck in my sheets? Why did you make me tuck in my blanket when later on all I'm going to do is untuck it just so I can get into it? What is the point of making my bed? And she told me, she said, well, she said, it's discipline. It's called discipline. And I said, you can call it whatever you want. It doesn't make any sense. Why am I making, quote unquote, making my bed? I'm not making anything here. The bed was already made by a carpenter. Why am I folding in my sheets if the idea is later on to unfold my sheets? I can't get into it without unfolding the sheets a little bit. So why am I bothering with that? And she never answered that question, because I don't think she knew the answer to it. I don't think there is an answer to something like that. But I really, I would love to actually have somebody come over and take care of me, man. You know, come on over and do things for me. Once every 3 months, I have a cleaning company come to my house and vacuum my rugs and wipe things down that haven't been wiped down in a while and clean my kitchen. And I know it sounds very hoity-toity. I don't do it every week. I have neighbors that do it like every week. I mean, I'm not like that. But I do it because I'm too damn lazy. It would be wonderful exercise for me to clean my entire house top to bottom. And sometimes I actually make plans. I say to myself, all right, it's Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday. I'm going to clean my house completely. And I really mean it at the time. I really want to do that. I'm psyched. I'll even go to the store and buy cleaning materials, you know, buy cleansers and things I think you need. And I'm ready to wipe this house down like it's never been wiped before. Then comes the next day, I wake up, no, I'm not doing that, what are you kidding me? Where's the phone number for the cleaning people? The cleaning people. I've talked about this before, it's an amazing human nature kind of thing. If you do have somebody come over and clean your house, you always have to clean your house first before the people who clean your house come over, because you don't want the people who clean your house to think that your house is dirty, which is why you called them to begin with. Oh, I can't have them come over like this. My house is a mess. I know, that's why they're coming. No, I can't. No, they'll, now this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. Look at all that crap on the mirror in the bathroom. I got to clean that off. Why are you doing that? That's why you hired them to come over and clean your mirror. I can't have them see this mirror like this. They'll think I'm sloppy. But you are sloppy. You are unkempt. You are disgusting. It's like when we go to the dentist, as I've said many times before. What do you do just before you go to the dentist? Tell me. Come on, raise your hand. Tell me. What do you do just before you go to the dentist? You brush your teeth. What the hell for? You know when you go to the dentist every single time, they're going to clean your teeth at the very least. At the very least. Even if they can't find anything, and they will, because they have to put the kids through college. Sorry, I'm going to have to give you a root canal. My kids, I'm getting the bills from the college. They're due in 3 weeks. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to give you a root canal. How much am I going to pay for my kid to go to college? They're very honest about it. They'll actually call you up every few months. Hey, Ron, hey, thanks for the money that you spent on your teeth last week. We appreciate it. We had a wonderful dinner with the family accordingly. It's been 3 months. I'm a little low on cash. Come on by. It's time to see the dentist. We're thinking of going to Disney World next month, and we're going to have to do some work on your teeth. Fill some cavities. I don't know. We'll find some cavities that are getting loose. We'll find something. Because, damn it, we're going to Disney World, and you're paying for it. So what do you do before you go to the dentist? You brush your teeth because you don't want the dentist to think that you're not brushing your teeth. Because dentists will yell at you. They will. It's not like cleaning your house. The cleaning people never yell at you and say, you know, your house is really dirty. I know. Well, they don't do that. They don't say that. Cleaning people don't say anything. Half of them can't speak English. But your dentist can speak English, and your dentist, you haven't been brushing your teeth. What's the point of me brushing my teeth? I knew I was coming here today. I got to yell at you for this. I got to yell at you. I read somewhere, I don't know where, so don't take it as gospel, but I read somewhere that one of the highest suicide rates are among dentists. Why? Why being a dentist would you consider taking your life? Is it because your entire career is composed of sticking your hands into somebody else's mouth? That might explain it. Other than that, why? Why would a dentist want to commit suicide? Why would there be such a high level of suicides in dentistry? I don't know. I can't figure it out. It's got to have something to do with putting the hands in the mouth thing. I can't imagine what else it could be. I mean, I wouldn't find that pleasurable in the least. Obviously not. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I want people to take care of me, man. I will pay the money so that I can be taken care of. I think it'd be wonderful. I want to hire a butler who just says yes to everything. Would you please get my robe, please? Yes, master. I'll get your robe right away. I'll bring it over to you. Right away. Would you care for a glass of sherry as I get your robe? Yes, Jeeves. That would be one. Every English butler, by the way, is named Jeeves. And other than that, no one's ever named Jeeves. I've never met a Jeeves in my life. If you're born and your parents give you the name Jeeves, you're going to be a butler someday. There's no way around it. Wouldn't that be great? Well, let's take a commercial break, and when we come back, we have a guest, and then who knows after that. Boy, though, wouldn't it be great to have a butler?
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth-grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say. Every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, fancy bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you today?
I am terrific. How are you?
I'm great. Cynthia Sass joins us now. She's a registered dietitian and Opal Apple's spokesperson. We're talking about apples. It's the apple time of year, I guess, isn't it?
It is. It's actually National Apple Month this month.
There you go. It's the whole month. It's the whole month now. Soon it'll be apple year. You never know.
It should be apples all year because they're so good for you.
You know, when I was growing up, as far as I remember when I was growing up, I was told an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and that got slammed into my head for my whole life. Is that absolutely true? Well, it doesn't keep the doctor away. You should get a checkup annually, but is it true that apples are really that good for you?
There's a lot of truth to that for a number of reasons, but just a couple nutrients that pop out with apples. Number one, vitamin C. A lot of people don't think of them as a source of vitamin C, but they do provide that important nutrient, which is great for your immune system. Of course, it's cold, kind of cold and flu season, so we want to keep that strong. But also fiber. You know, most of us are only getting about 50% of the fiber that we need per day, minimally. Yeah. And one apple has 4 grams of fiber out of the 25 minimum that you should have for the day. So that's important for digestive health and also for fullness. You know, when you have that apple and you're chewing it, filling you up, it can help displace other less healthy foods that you probably shouldn't be eating. Mm-hmm. You know, according to the CDC, only 10% of Americans are eating the minimum recommended 5 cups of produce a day. So 90% of us are falling short of that important target. And grabbing an Opal apple is a very simple way to help fill that gap. And because apples are very versatile, you can eat them as is, or you can incorporate them into a number of different recipes.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it's pretty good. Okay. I guess eating apples raw would be the best way of consuming an apple. Is that make sense? I mean, I know there are plenty of recipes, and we're going to get into that. But is that the best way of getting the nutrients?
Not necessarily, because number one, with the fiber, it doesn't break down when you cook the apple.
Oh.
So if you're sautéing it or baking it, you're still going to retain that.
Oh.
So that's great. And then the antioxidants are also another component that will be available both cooked and raw.
Cynthia, I didn't know that. I'm glad you came along because I had no concept that
then you can enjoy those cooked apples without worrying about losing the nutrients.
All right, let's talk about the cooked apples because we're coming up on what I call national pie season, where every pie's got apples in it, and there's a varying amounts of pie, and I get kind of scared of it because that kind of represents a lot of sugars. Is there a way to have an apple pie that doesn't involve tons of sugar?
I have a couple different ways for you, but I'll tell you one that I think is a really interesting twist. I have a recipe I developed. I had a lot of fun developing recipes with the Opal apple. I developed 10 different ones, and my favorite by far is the hot apple pie smoothie. So it is a warm smoothie. Most of us are used to having our smoothies chilled.
Yeah.
But in this case, you take the smoothie ingredients, you transfer the blended smoothie to a saucepan and warm it up, and you drink it hot.
Oh.
And so it is like liquid apple pie. It is delicious, but it's very healthy. So you're not getting all the sugar and the crust and the carbohydrates that you would in a traditional pie. And then I also developed a mock apple cobbler. So in this case, instead of a pie, you're going to be sautéing the sliced apples on the stovetop and then topping with a crumble topping that's very simply made with some almond butter, some rolled oats, a little bit of maple syrup, and some cinnamon. So you get that same sensation of the pie, but without, again, all that extra sugar and calories.
That's very cool. And you don't have, like, huge amounts of it either. It's just
and it is very filling, too. So a smaller portion even, you know, one whole apple is actually quite filling, and one whole apple only has 80 calories.
Wow. Okay, what about, In the lunchbox, for example, I used to slice the apple and it would turn like brown a little bit later. How do you preserve that?
So my favorite thing about the Opal apple, it is the only non-GMO, non-browning apple on the market.
What?
So it's naturally non-browning.
What?
So you can slice it ahead of time. You can pack it in your lunch or bring it to work and it will not brown. And it's gorgeous. It has a very distinct, crisp texture. It's yellow, gorgeous in color, but also has a sweet and tangy flavor. So if you want to dip it into almond butter, you want to dip it into hummus. It's very versatile in that it goes well with both sweet and savory. But that's really nice that you have a naturally non-browning apple that isn't going to give you that kind of brownish, sort of off-putting color that sometimes people, you know, will get turned off by. And it's just beautiful.
That's amazing. Is it found only in the Himalayan mountains or something? I mean,
no, they're grown in Washington State, and it's a funny story that they weren't really setting out to create a non-browning apple. They just It's a hybrid between a Golden Delicious and a Topaz, and it just so happens that they found that it does not brown, so it's a naturally non-browning.
Wow, where do I find an Opal apple?
Well, you can go to opalapples.com, and there is a finder on that website to let you know which store you can find them in your area. And so most people should probably hop on there, and that the recipes that I developed will also be available on that website.
Wow. I have a feeling I might be able to lose a little bit of weight and be a little bit healthier if I enter into this realm of Opal apples.
I love them, and they're also non-GMO project verified, so that's great to know for people who really are very interested in non-GMO products, that it's a really, really unique apple, and I've had a lot of fun working with them, and of course eating them, because they're quite delicious as well.
It sounds like the miracle fruit here. If I rub it on my hair, will I grow hair?
Yeah, great. Bathe in it. Shampoo your hair with it.
It's the new CBD. Okay. All right. So, well, we go to opalapples.com. That's O-P-A-L apples.com. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to at least try it and probably get hooked on it. And then I can eat apples instead of junk food. This might be good for me.
Sounds like a great plan. I love it.
Fine. And we can get some recipes on that website as well?
Yes, plenty of recipes, including I created that mock apple cobbler, yes. the apple pie smoothie, but also even savory ones. Like I have a chickpea salad with a lemony vinaigrette. Mm. I have apples with cabbage. I even have an apple teeny, a martini.
Now you're talking.
There you go.
All right. Guess who's immediately going to your website now? Okay. Opalapples.com. And thank you so much for your time today, Cynthia Sass.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we've run out of time for today. Time has expired like a parking meter. But I'll be back tomorrow with a Halloween special. Ooh, that should be incredible. Until then, I wish you peace.